game. Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Show on ESPN 1000. You can also watch the show on YouTube as well, youtube.com. Just search ESPN Chicago. Let's head on out now to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we find the CMO of Live Golf. It's Adam Harder joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Adam. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So obviously exciting news with Live Golf taking a stop to Bolingbrook in September. We're really looking forward to that. What led to getting Bolingbrook involved in the mix here?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bolingbrook is it's a wonderful course. It's been ranked number one public course in Illinois before. It has excellent facilities, a really welcoming community, right up to the mayor, has just been fantastic and a great partner to work with. And what we're always looking to do is bring the game's biggest stars to a course to a wide range of golf fans. And we love the fact that Bolingbrook is a public course. And so what an amazing experience for fans to come out, watch some of the best golfers on the planet play, and then be able to play that same course the very next week. We think it's going to be an awesome experience for everybody.
And Adam, you know, people here are very excited that Live is coming and it's going to be very accessible, especially going to a public golf course. Are tickets available still? Are they sold out, or what's the status on tickets?
Tickets still are available. We are selling out very quickly, and it is on pace to being one of our most successful events in the U.S. right now. So we've got some great momentum behind it. But the good news is there are still tickets available, and not only are there GA tickets available, but if you're really looking for that upgraded hospitality experience, we have some wonderful products like Club 54, which is an exclusive air-conditioned facility, a really great experience on the 18th hole. The Birdie Shack, which is going to be more of a party experience. So we've got something for everyone.
Live Golf CMO Adam Harder with us here on the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. So the individual championships are showing up here in the Chicagoland area, Bolingbrook, on September 13th to 15th. And I think a lot of Chicago area golf fans are really excited because it's a lot closer to where they may reside than what was out at Sugar Grove the previous couple of years. What's going to be new or different from a presentation standpoint for fans?
Well, I think what's great about Live Golf events is that there is something for everyone. So whether you want to come out with your buddies and hang out at the Birdie Shack and have a live DJ and a party experience, or if you want to bring the family and kids under 12 are free, we've got free parking for everyone. We have a fan village. We'll have tons of games and activities for fans of all ages to participate in. So all of that will be really exciting.
And Adam, you know, here in Chicago, we've had the opportunity to see two previous events and really grow and evolve with Live Golf as it came upon us. And when I read the release that you were joining Live in the CMO role, which, by the way, a big congratulations, I was really glad that they selected someone with deep-rooted American sports marketing and obviously being award-winning, forward-thinking, former senior executive with PepsiCo. You've been involved in some of the most monumental sports and entertainment deals in history with the four major sports, players like LeBron, venues like Madison Square Garden, and teams like the Cowboys. With somebody with your resume, as you step into this role and taking a step back where we are in the golf landscape, what does a SWOT analysis look in your mind's eye from a 35,000-foot elevation in terms of where would we see Adam Harder going to work?
Well, thank you for all of that. I appreciate it. And I'll tell you, I think the one word that I'll give you is opportunity. when I looked at this opportunity, I saw a brand that is unlike any other sports league brand out there. It has amazing flexibility and adaptability and potential to stand for something more than just the league itself. This is the world's first global golf league. And so for me, as a sports marketer and someone that's built brands and tried to find unique ways to engage with fans for over 20 years, having the opportunity to build a brand like LIV, in addition to 13 other team brands, which makes our league so unique, is that we are both simultaneously an individual event and a team golf league at the same time. Take those two things together and marry it with the opportunity to change the trajectory of an entire sport, to help rejuvenize it, globalize it, innovate around it. It was just too good of an opportunity to pass up. So when I look at the SWOT analysis, I'm really focused on the O, which is all of the opportunity to bring golf to every corner of the globe and to bring new fans into the sport. And I think that's what LIV can really offer. People that may not have considered golf as being a sport for them in the past, they're starting to realize that it's not just a great game of the past, but this is a sport for the future. And we're bringing a new generation to the game. And I just love the energy around that.
Adam, Mike mentioned in his question, too, about how you've got the entertainment background and the sports background all kind of tied together here. And LIV Golf is different. Its motto is golf but louder. If you were to create a pie chart and put together what percent of LIV Golf would you consider sports and what percent is entertainment?
Well, look, at the heart of this is world-class golf. So make no mistake about it. These are some of the best players on the planet. They compete day in and day out for that individual and team title. So that's really at the core. But the beauty of this is it's surrounded by a vibe that I just didn't expect when I first joined. And it was amazing to go to my first LIV Golf event and just feel people arriving and just having so much fun the minute they walk through the gates. There's music playing everywhere. The players are laid back. They're comfortable. They're wearing shorts. They're engaging with the fans. The fans can get right up close to them on the practice green and on the driving range. And you just love that environment. So, you know, if I had to put percentage on it, I'd say, look, this is still 80% world-class golf, but it's just surrounded by a fun, entertaining environment. And I love that music's part of its DNA. We're going to continue to build on that and make sure that when people come to a LIV Golf event, they're watching this incredible golf, but with the fun of a music festival-like experience at the same time.
And then as we start to look at things in the future and you start to go to work, and if everything went your way, what does LIV look like in 5 years? In your fantasy world or in your vision?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just all about expanding our reach to more and more fans across the globe. So there's, you know, just tens of millions of hardcore golf fans around the world within the U.S. and the U.K. and it's just huge in Asia. So we want to expand our footprint to all of those fans who just love golf and all of those different markets across the world. But at the same time, what I love about LIV specifically is it allows other people to enjoy this product that may have not considered themselves a hardcore golf fan. When you start thinking about fantasy, when you start thinking about the music aspect of what we bring to the table, I think over time, there'll be more and more compelling social media content that we're developing that invite people in to get to know our players, feel the experience that we have on the course, people that just want to come out with their families and have a wonderful time, even if they don't see themselves as hardcore golf fans. I think we're going to broaden the appeal of the entire game.
Adam Harder, the CMO of LIV Golf, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show as the LIV Golf Individual Championships are headed to Bolingbrook on September 13th through 15th. And Adam, you brought up the global game, but there has been, in each year of LIV's existence, an event in the Chicagoland area. And I think something that a lot of Chicago area golf fans have felt over the last couple of years is that the PGA Tour has largely neglected the Chicagoland area. They had the BMW Championships, but I feel like the Chicago area golf fan wishes there was a consistent stop along the PGA Tour here. Why has LIV Golf really made the Chicagoland area an emphasis or really made it a part of the tour every single year?
Yeah, this will be our third time visiting the Chicago area, and just look at the rich sports culture and the passionate fan base in Chicago. So it's a great market to bring professional golf. We're excited for what we have this year at Bolingbrook. Again, as I said before, it's because this is a public course, we're trying to broaden the appeal in the of the game. We're trying to expand it to as many people as we possibly can. And so this gives us that unique opportunity to do both of those things, to tap into this incredible sports fan market that we have in Chicago, and then also do it in a way that feels really accessible.
And Adam, you know, you mentioned growing the brand, growing the game. When I think about that, I'm one of the few, I think, that hunt and search out for LIV no matter where it goes. I watch it, I consume it. I know a lot about it. I was bummed when my friend of the show, Taylor Gooch, got traded. I mean, my range coats kind of fell off the face of the earth when he got traded. But that being said, here in Chicago, trying to find it, at least in our market, we have to go between the CW and Channel 9 and depends on which day. When can we expect LIV to have a legitimate television partner so that the world really has an easier way to get eyeballs on this amazing product?
Yeah, what I can tell you about that is we have a team, and it's a world-class team, working on this right now to make sure that we're bringing our events in view, the ease of viewership just gets better for all the fans that are looking for LIV, and make it easier for people to find it. So we're working on that right now. Make no mistake about it. It is a high priority for us as a league. One of the things that we found some success in and are going to continue to build on is the LIV Golf Plus app, which is a really awesome viewing experience. If you haven't done that, I'd recommend downloading the LIV Golf Plus app. We also have a feature on there called Any Shot, Any Time, which allows you to follow any golfer you want. So if Taylor's the guy you want to follow, you can follow him anytime through that app. And that's a great new technology and innovation that we've introduced. And that, I think you'll also see more of that from LIV moving forward. This is an organization, unlike any I've seen, in terms of embracing innovation. I'm just looking for new ways to try things out, see what works, experiment in every step of the way, trying to make it more fun and easier for our fans to join in. So we'll continue to make more progress on that moving forward.
Now, Adam, you mentioned embracing innovation there, and obviously we've seen there's been some viral clips, and notably it happened with Jon Rahm talking about the drones. He wasn't very happy with some of the drone coverage and the noise that it made. But in the case of that, how do you balance innovation while also tailoring to, like you said, this is world-class golf? How do you embrace innovating versus making sure that the players are happy with the way that the courses are set up and the coverage that it receives?
Yeah, I think, you know, the word you said there is balance, and I do think it's a balance. The important thing is never to give up trying and continue to try to advance the game, advance the fan experience. And you know what? Along the way, not everything's going to be perfect, and we're going to find the things that are working and double down on those. Where things aren't working as well, we'll adapt, change, evolve, and I guarantee we'll be better the next time out. So again, what I love about the company is they're not afraid to try new things. They're not afraid to say, all right, you might bump your head here or there on some of these new technologies that we're trying out. But at the end of the day, it's a unique cutting edge experience that no one's seen before in golf. And we'll never stop trying to push the envelope there.
And then, Adam, as we wind up the season on the PGA Tour, the DP World, the LIV, and we start going into that winter nap, what can we expect in the off season to happen? Can we expect any other new faces or teams? Will there be any winter recruiting of sort? is that going to be an active time, or based on where we are right now, it's just sort of understood that it's all quiet on the Western front until we can figure out this deal?
Yeah, you'll see what you're going to see in where we are in the season. It's fascinating. This is, there's a lot at stake right now with the individual championships as they come up, because they'll be only the top 24 players that have secured their place for next season. Then you also have some players that are going to finish near the bottom, and as hard as they've been playing and as much as they've been trying to make it up the ranks, they'll end up in the relegation phase, and they'll have to earn their way back into the league. We have a promotions event that will take place in December, so they'll have to earn their way back in by playing really well at that event. They'll also be within that open zone where people aren't guaranteed a spot on their staying team yet, but there's still an open zone where there will be recruiting and trading that can take place. So there'll definitely be active area there. And every year as the league matures, I think you'll see more and more activity as far as that goes. And you'll be hearing more from us during that off season as far as our plans for 2025.
Adam,
so I think this year will be a much more active off season than what you've seen before, and we're excited for that.
Adam Harder is our guest here, the CMO of LIV Golf. So I know there's all the rumblings about the merger with LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. I mean, do you expect to see some players from the PGA Tour make their way over to LIV this off season?
Boy, I wish I knew the answer to that question. I know that's the question everyone has. I think for us, where our focus is just making sure that the product that we're developing is an incredible one for the fans. I do think over time, I think you're going to see more and more just players across the world join LIV, and we'll continue to grow and expand over time. We obviously want to do that, but we're really focused on making sure that we're giving the fans the best golf experience possible, that we're teaching more people about the game of golf, helping them understand the format, this team format that we've created, inviting them into the game, and making sure when they come to our events that they just have an incredible time. That's really where the energy and focus is for us right now.
We'll have more with Adam Harder when we come back. This is the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Talking with LIV Golf CEO Adam Harder on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. By the way, this segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan golf without the drive.
Adam, there's been a lot made of Phil Mickelson in the news lately that this could be his last season if things don't turn around. For the fans here in Chicago, is this the potential opportunity or the only opportunity to see Phil play again at Bolingbrook?
Boy, I hope we see Phil playing again, and I just want him involved in any way, shape, or form from now till forever. He's just such an amazing personality. He's been such an icon of the game of golf, such a great, I would say coach to his team. We at our press conference, you heard his teammates talk about how he's created such an amazing team environment, and they do everything together. They practice together, they stay together, they travel together, they have different different outside speakers come in and help them figure out how to improve their game and sports psychology and things like that. So he's such an incredible asset to the game and to the league that we just want him involved in any way, shape, or form, and that'll be up to him to decide where he goes and how he does that. But I sure hope we see him back in 25.
So you guys have some sort of quote-unquote Phil succession plan in place where there's a spot for him somewhere within our company and our league the day he does decide to hang him up?
Well, I can't imagine him not being involved in some way, shape, or form. So we love to just have him continue to be part of the family, and it does feel like a family. If you guys come out here, I know we're talking about Phil right now, but I think what you hear is from the captains and from the teams, that is something that's very different in this league that I've seen, is that the teams all feel very much like a family. We want to keep that unit together.
Oh, and there's no doubt. I've been to several rounds at both events at Rich Harvest, and it's amazing how team-oriented they've really become, down to bags and their uniforms, but even their hitting stations and how they warm up as a unit. It's right. It's really starkly different than the PGA Tour. So suffice to say, we're not going to be marketing this as the last time to see Phil, but people can obviously get involved, obviously, by buying tickets. But does an event like this need volunteers? And if so, do you still need them?
Yes, we definitely need volunteers for all of our events. And the best thing to do is to go to livegolf.com to check in on where we stand for volunteer opportunities. But at this point in time, I think we're still open and looking for volunteer help. So please go to the website and check it out. And that's another great thing about this event, is it does feel, when as we've been moving into these different communities, that the entire community has been embracing them and showing up to play a volunteer role, to cheer on the players. And the players really feel it and embrace it too. And so we love that, and there's definitely a role for volunteers at all of our events.
Adam Harder, the CMO of LIV Golf, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. So, Adam, I think one of the great things that we've seen with LIV Golf is how some of these superstars have really reemerged and reintroduced themselves to the casual golf fan. I think of Brooks Koepka and the story that he had last year, and then obviously the big star this year, the U.S. Open champion, Bryson DeChambeau. He also finishes runner-up at the PGAs. Like, it has been really cool to watch some of these guys come back, and a lot of it due to struggling with the schedules of the PGA Tour and maybe the injuries that they incurred from that. How have you guys capitalized on the reemergence of some of golf stars like Brooks and like Bryson?
Yeah, you know, one of the first things is that as I talked to some of the players when I started, we had really, you know, open conversations around social media and trying to build their brands, and definitely with Bryson specifically, where I said, look, my role as a marketer coming in here is to recognize that the most valuable assets we have in a league is our players. And so I look at someone like Bryson and try to figure out, how do I help? I don't want to tap him down in any way. What I want to do is figure out, how do we unleash him? I mean, he's incredible in the space. He's obviously helping others and inspiring other players on what to do on social media and how to be great at it. Phil even talked about it at our press conference for our event this weekend the other day, just saying that he's inspired all of them to figure out, hey, this is what's possible. Let's go do some more. Let's get into this. And so what we've been doing is just staying very close and figuring out, how do we take the best practices from the league, from our individual players, and bring those together and just help each other rise and be more successful in how we showcase our brand, the team brand, and the individual player brands at the same time.
Adam, when John Rahm joined and made the transfer and shocked the golfing world, I mean, I'm sure your organization did a big, you know, hip, hip, hooray. And when he has come over, he was quite vocal about the things and change that he thought he could bring about and embark on with his, you know, experience, posture, you know, presence in the game. And one of the things he mentioned was going to 72 holes. Is that on the table? And if it is, would then you change the name from LIV in the brand, or would it just stay as is?
You know, I was talking before about the LIV brand, and what I love about it is so adaptable and flexible. You know, our format, I think our format is, I love the format that we have. You never say never with an organization like this that's so open to change and innovation and evolution. So who knows what the future holds. But the brand itself, when you think about live, it can stand for, it's also, 54 is also the score if you shoot 18 birdies in a row, 54 is your score. And so the brand Live still has so many connotations and relevance, whether it's 54 holes or not. So I'm not concerned about that at all. But again, it just reinforces the strength, yet the flexibility and the opportunity around the brand.
Listen, Adam, I'm no marketing genius, but LXXII does not roll off the tongue as well as Live Golf does. So that's a free tip I'm going to give you right there. Real quick, before we let you go here, I saw a picture that you played Oak Hill Country Club with Josh Allen a couple years ago. And coincidentally, of course, Oak Hill, the spot of the first Live champion to win a major when Brooks Koepka did it at the PGAs a couple years ago, or last year, I should say. What was that experience like, and what can you tell us about Josh Allen as the golfer?
Wow, that was such an amazing experience for so many reasons. I'm a Rochester guy. I grew up outside of Rochester, went to St. John Fisher College, where the Buffalo Bills have their training camp. I went to University of Buffalo and grew up just loving the Buffalo Bills because of what they represented and meant to the city of Buffalo. And Josh has just been such an amazing new figure to that community, and someone that has just re-energized the Buffalo Bills and given us hope and some just incredible, exciting moments. And so to have the opportunity to grow up on a golf course that was, to me, on a pedestal and inaccessible as I was growing up, and to play it with someone like Josh Allen, who is just a remarkable player and an outstanding human being, that was a great day. And my goodness, he can hit the ball a mile. He's a great golfer, and I had a great day playing with him.
More impressive, his throws or drives?
I think I'm going to stick with his throwing arm at this point, but he might have a career when his football days are over.
Well, Adam, I got to be honest with you. I didn't realize you were a Rochesterian. Like, I lived in that community for a few years doing the 95 Ryder Cup, so I have a soft spot in my heart for the Buffalo Bills in Western New York. It's a great area. I lived in Old Fairport, New York. So from one Rochesterian to another, best of luck in Live your new role in taking this thing to new heights.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you both giving me the time, and thank you so much to the entire Chicago community for supporting Live, and we hope to see you all out there for our individual championships at Bolingbrook coming soon.
Adam Harder, CMO of Live Golf, with us on the CDGA Golf Show. We'll discuss some of the things he said, including who could potentially be poached by Live Golf for the upcoming season. All that and more when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend. As we continue along here on the CDGA Golf Show, Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, talking golf with you. Usually Saturdays, 9 to 11. We'll be back next weekend, Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m., but we got you till 10 today. If you missed anything, including our conversation with Live Golf CMO Adam Harder, you can find it on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that app wherever you get your apps, Google Play, Apple App Store, or you can find it wherever you get your podcast. Just find the CDGA Golf Show. And Adam brought something up that I think both you and I perked up a little bit when we heard it. Him talking about the offseason for Liv. And again, this is a merger that still sits in flux right now. We don't know exactly how this thing's going to go down. I think we have many more questions than answers when it comes to what we're going to see between the merger of the PGA Tour and Live Golf moving forward. For what it's worth, and we'll go over the schedule coming up at 9 o'clock,
that was released by the PGA Tour because their 2025 slate is already out. But as we look at what he was saying, he said Adam Harder mentioned he expects an active offseason. And does that mean more poaching is about to take place? And I think it certainly could. And here's the other part of what, like, LIV, the allure to go and play LIV Golf used to have one reason why. There was a big sack of cash coming your way.
Big sack.
And we're talking about nine-figure deals that are life-changing. You're working less and you're making more.
Never seen in golf before.
Right. And never seen in, quite frankly, a lot of sports.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
to be asked to do less while making double, triple what you were before. But I think there's a new allure with LIV Golf now. And that allure is, if your career is starting to take a turn south, this is a place where we've seen careers, especially ones that have been riddled with injuries, get rejuvenated. And I think of what we've seen with Brooks, what we've seen with Bryson, guys who are previous champions that have won big on the PGA Tour, but the injury bug has just kind of hurt the excessive nature of the PGA Tour, where it's every single week you can play an event if you want to. Just the tedious nature of the PGA Tour was hurting their game. This lets them play less, practice a little more, and by the time these guys get to majors, their game is in great shape. And I think that's a new selling point for LIV. Not necessarily that it's new that they're going to be playing less. That's always been known. But the fact that you're seeing now results, LIV can point to Brooks and Bryson mm-hmm. as two guys who come on over, play with us, and we think you'll have much more major success when it comes down to it. And I think the other selling point now moving forward is the Ryder Cup is going to accept you if you are among the six captains' picks that are best.
And that's big. That's really, really big that now they have a means to get into the Ryder Cup, let alone now the majors. The path to the majors isn't as clear and as clean as it used to be, but for a little while there was no path. So at least there is some. So there is opportunity opening up for these guys to now take a look at this in a much different way. Because I think if there's going to be an active off season, I scratch my head because how the PGA Tour has combat this thing is to create these signature events, to have this top 50 cut. Because in essence, as I start to think about, well, who's poachable? Well, if you're in the top 50, I don't think you're even giving that a second consideration because you have eight signature events staring you in the face with guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And so it would take a big truckload or truckloads, plural, to even get me to think about wanting to entertain that idea when my game is obviously at a point that has me in the top 50. My career, my position, where I stand in the game right now is probably the best it's been. So why leave now? So I think what the PGA Tour did is going to be helpful now in the long term for the future poaching that could happen. Because otherwise, if you're going to start looking at who they may go after, the talent pool of what they had before was a heck of a lot different than what I think is realistic now. And when we were talking earlier, and Phil Mickelson is among those being talked about, maybe this could be his last year. And then we mentioned Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood and some of these guys in that generation. They are, too, going to be falling off and maybe playing as co-captains or not even playing, just be a regular captain, a non-playing
one.
And so
kind of play GM.
Yeah, I guess. But is that star power really there to bring – eyeballs? Do you really want to watch Ian Poulter not play golf and just be a coach? Or Phil Mickelson? Does that move the needle anymore? So I guess my question, when it's all said and done, is who's replacing Phil, Ian, Lee Westwood, and some of the other household names we used to know from Ryder Cups ago. And Sergio is in that class as well. Mm-hmm. Who's going to replace him? Because you kind of have to start looking at those that are 71st and above. And even then, I would question whether or not their careers are at that point. But anyone at 126 and beyond, whoa, very opportunistic. But when I look at those names, all of a sudden, they're no longer household names. But there are a few people, and a few of the usual suspects sort of come back up again. And the first one for me is Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
I mean, Ricky kind of perked up and then kind of went away.
Yeah. I've got another name I want to throw your way as well. So we can bat around a few names of guys that would be interesting. Because, like, you need the needle movers, too.
You do.
You can't just grab a guy who's 85th just because.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's not going to change the calculus of people that want to take in your sports. So we'll do that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Golf is on your mind and on the air. Right now, this is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
To you by Tour Edge, Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan talking golf with you. We've been batting around. So we just about 20 minutes ago spoke with Live Golf CMO Adam Harder, and he mentioned that he expects an active offseason. And we ventured to think that could mean there could be plenty of poaching to be done by Live Golf. And we're going to start to bat around a couple of names that we think would be prime movers to the other tour, with the future merger between the PGA Tour and LIV being as murky as it is right now. And you brought up Ricky Fowler right before the break. I want to give you another name, and it kind of coincides in the Brooks and Bryson realm here. And I think it'd be a tough pull, but I think anybody of substance that you're getting to come over is a tough pull at this point. But Jordan Spieth, I think that is a sell that you could make to him and say, look at those two guys. They hit it big right out of the gate in their careers and then became riddled with injury. Sound familiar?
No.
I mean, that is exactly the Jordan Spieth timeline as well. Now, will Jordan do it? I don't know if there is a financial value that you could give him that would be enough. I just wonder if the sell of, look at those guys, they went back and were competitive and won in majors. And Jordan Spieth, he's been injury-ridden as of late. The wrist has really bothered him. I wonder if Jordan Spieth would be one of those guys. And you look at where he's sitting right now on the playoff standings, he's 66.
All right.
So I think that's a name that, not that I have to give them advice, I'm sure he's certainly on their radar of a guy that you could sell on this, but that's a name that if I'm Jordan Spieth, I think I have to take a long, hard look at this.
I think you do too. Because only Jordan knows the status of that wrist. And if this is just a, you know, an easy fix and it's not a big deal, he shouldn't have any fear or any reservation as to why he wouldn't be able to come back and come back better than ever. But to your point, if there is that question, any of that self-doubt, you know, he's got almost $63 million earned in his career. And Dustin Johnson was at about $74 million when he signed on the dotted line for $125. So if the money's there, I mean, obviously he's already made life-changing money and he could probably, you know, supplement it with just gobs and gobs of more money. He has 13 career wins, two internationally. He's got 18 runner-ups, and he's made 225 of 280 cuts. So this guy can flat out get after it and play throughout his entire career, as we've seen. But he has some self-doubt now, and he does fit the bill of a Brooks. He fits the bill of kind of a combination of a Brooks and a Bryson all wrapped up into one. And to your point, this might be an opportunity to actually follow suit. Or are we at such a weird time? Does Jordan become the go-between and the deal maker? Like, he's going over to live, but he sees the ability to come back at this date when the deal pans out, and he becomes the one player that's going, knowing there is a path back because it's been published, it's been approved, it's part of the deal. To me, that's the only way Jordan Spieth gets involved in this thing. If there is a easy, clean, agreed upon way back into this thing, because he has too much of a career that, you know, he's got, you know, a major, but he doesn't have, you know, what I'll call that over the top PGA Tour career just yet. And I think this is a major crossroads for his career.
Yeah.
Just like you said.
I think the other thing too, so this was about a month and a half ago. He was asked about how discussions are going between LIV and the PGA Tour, and particularly about LIV golf players coming back to the tour. And he answered that he would, quote, get in a lot of trouble, end quote, for discussing particular points as to how that would happen. And I just think, like, Spieth is one of those guys who it feels like if he would make the leap, he would have made it already. But I think when you see the success that some of those guys have had in majors, especially guys who fit his profile of having dealt with a lot of injuries and have had success on the PGA Tour, it's, I don't know, maybe the calculus has changed a little bit. We can continue talking about this and also go over what we took away from the new PGA Tour schedule that's out for 2025. So we will do all that and more when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.